Psalm 75, verse 10 says, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord, because He's our employer. So we've got to make sure that we're working ethically, honestly, hard. We've got a good work ethic. We take initiative. We're punctual. We have good character. We have good speech. And God says, I'll promote you. You do it because you're my son and my daughter, and I am the one who is your master. I'm the one from whom comes all your blessings. So all of us are full-time. By the way, how many full-time ministers do we have here?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Gradero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Yesterday, we began a message where Pastor Wayne began to show us that we are all full-time ministers. Now, you might say, I'm a carpenter, I'm a stay-at-home mom. But God has uniquely ordained you to be His messenger and share the love of Christ with those whom you come in contact. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Every Member a Minister.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, God of God, true God of true gods, light of all lights, begotten, not made, but He is one with the Father, who is Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, He arose again according to the Scriptures. He descended into hell and led the captives free. And He ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one church, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. And of His kingdom, there shall be no end. And I think we should all say, Amen. Good. Just checking. And remember, clapping isn't for a performance. It's, I believe that too. Amen. I agree. And so that's the Nicene Creed. It was so important to me that I committed it to memory so that everything we do here at New Hope will be hinged to that, connected to that, and we won't drift from that. That's our statement of faith. It's not changed since 325 AD. It's our constitution. We also have some creeds here at the church. One you're going to hear fairly often is going to be called the Bible Creed. The Bible Creed. And we're going to put it up on the screen behind you so that you can actually recite it with me. And if you have a Bible, would you hold it up? Grab your Bible. If you don't, hold your iPhone up. If you don't, hold your hand up and say, oops, I forgot my Bible. All right, so here's your Bible, all right? And we're going to recite this together. Is it on there? Okay. All right, let's go. This is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do. For I am a citizen of heaven. Give yourselves a hand. Very good. Very good. And that's another creed that we often will say around here, and you'll hear it again and again, to remind us of who we are. That God actually put a message on our hearts and put us back on the spinning globe. And He says, tell them. And He spins it again. And a few more spins, we'll be gone. But there's a purpose for us to be messengers of His good news. And the Bible says in Acts 1:8, for we shall be witnesses when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And I will give you power to do that. So you'll see again and again through the Bible, He will reaffirm our identity so that we will never, never forget. You say to me, well, that's what the church is for. That's a minister supposed to do that. I know we have some staff. How many full-time ministers do we have in here? Okay, a few of them, okay. No, I want to ask the same question, and this time I want everybody to raise their hand. Okay, all right. How many full-time ministers do we have here? Good, a couple of you are still questioning your own self, so let's try it one more time. How many full-time ministers do we have here? Raise your hand. Good, that's the answer. Because you see, before you're a businessman, you're a full-time minister. Before you're a housewife, you're a full-time minister. You say, well, where do you get that from? From the Word of God. Let's read the scripture up here on the board and see what God says about you. Not just to pastors, to everybody That's you and me. Would you read it? Go. But you are a chosen generation. Remember, anchor. Okay, you're a chosen generation. Continue. A royal. Continue. A holy nation. His own special people. Why? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Yeah, he says you're full-time ministers so that you can proclaim what? The one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You say, well, wait a minute, Wayne. I'm not a full-time minister. You see, I'm a contractor, so I get my money from the company. I don't get my money from the church. Well, let's take a look at it this way. Let's never mistake and mix up the avenue of your income from the source of your income, the channel through which your income arrives, and the source of every income through whatever channel it's delivered to you. And why does God have various channels? We'll find out. So a person says, well, I'm a businessman. I get my money through the company. Okay, let's, finding where these stereo wires originate, let's take your salary and let's take a look at where it really originates. Well, I'm a car salesman, so I get it from the car company. Well, let's go there, all right. So you get it from the car company. Where'd they get it? Well, another customer bought a car. Okay, keep going. Where'd they get theirs? Well, from this or maybe from that or they worked here or they got it from there. All the way down to get it, I guess, from gold, right? That's supposed to be, anyway, the basis of our economy. Yeah, but where'd the gold come from? Keep going. Oh. Do you know that when you keep following the avenue of your salary, we all end up at the throne of God? It's God that gives you your income. Oh, he'll run it through this one and patch it through that place. There's a reason for that. But the source, the aquifer, the origination is God, this Jehovah Jireh. He's the one that you say, well, wait a minute, Wayne, I work really hard. God provides it? Oh, yeah, yeah. Deuteronomy 8:18 says a really interesting thing. He says to the people of Israel, because they kept forgetting this, you'll see that he says, but remember, and let's read this together, go. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. So I worked hard. Yeah, who gave you the muscles to do that, the brains to do that? You think you got that from a box of Cheerios? Yeah, God gives you even the ability to create wealth. And so if you keep going, you'll find that the origination is not a company. That's the channel through which he delivers to you your income. But he's the source. So really, we all work for God? Yes. Where'd you get that? Out of Colossians. Let's read this one together. Ready? Nice and loudly. Go. Whatever you do, put your whole heart and soul into it, as into work done for God, not merely for men, knowing that your real reward, a heavenly one, will come from, since you actually are employed by, not just by your earthly master. So what he's saying is, bottom line is, we're full-time ministers, those of us who are called by his name, and God is our employer. Psalm 75, verse 10 says, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord, because he's our employer. So we've got to make sure that we're working ethically, honestly, hard. We've got a good work ethic. We take initiative. We're punctual. We have good character. We have good speech. And God says, I'll promote you. You don't do it to just brown nose somebody. You do it because you're my son and my daughter, and I am the one who is your master. I'm the one from whom comes all your blessings. So, now I'm starting to see it. Yeah. So all of us are full-time. By the way, how many full-time ministers do we have here? Okay, just checking. Yeah, just checking. Sorry. Yeah, because some of you are older and you might have forgotten since the first question was asked. But yeah, we're all full-time ministers. You say, well, Wayne, wait a minute. Then why does he use this channel and that channel and this channel? If it all came from God, why doesn't he just give it to us? Why does he run it way through this one and way through this one and over here and over there? Let me ask you another question. How many of you think that God loves teachers? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Some of you are questioning that. Yeah, that's all right. I understand. You had bad ones. How many of you believe that God, here's a tough one, loves lawyers? Okay, two of you. All right. So let's go to an easier one. How many of you believe that God loves construction workers? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah. So he does. He loves everyone. How many of you believe God loves doctors and nurses? Raise your hand. Sure. All right. So because he loves all of these people that are in different areas in the world and different areas of business, he wants to reach them. Now remember, the first one we read was, God has determined the times and places set for you, because people are going to reach out for him, and he's not far from any of them because they're going to bump into you. So he takes you and he puts you in these different places, because what's the best way to reach a teacher? By getting a pastor with a Bible and thump it on them? No, they would be intimidated. The best way to reach a teacher would be through what? Another teacher. What's the best way to reach a construction person? Through another construction worker. Absolutely. So here's what God does. He takes a full-time, because he loves construction workers and he loves teachers, so he takes a full-time minister. How many do we have here in this church? Yeah, good. So he takes a full-time minister and disguises him or her as a teacher. Gives him brains, makes him smart, and gives him glasses. And then he puts that person in the Department of Education. Why? Because I love teachers. And so I'm going to put a bunch of full-time ministers disguised as teachers because I love teachers. And the best way to reach a teacher is through another teacher. I love doctors and nurses. So I'm going to take a full-time minister, disguise him as a doctor or a nurse, give them medical knowledge, a love for people, and then I'm going to put them with these gifts and these passions in the medical field. Why? Because I want to reach those people. And he takes full-time ministers and puts them in that field. He loves construction workers. So he takes a full-time minister, disguises him or her as a construction worker, gives him muscles and tattoos and hair, extra hair. And I haven't even talked to you about the men yet. And he puts them in the construction field. Why? Because he loves construction workers. And the best way to reach a construction worker is through another construction worker. And so he takes a full-time minister, puts him in the construction field, and they'll bump into him. And then you just basically overflow about the goodness of God. And all of a sudden they say, that's what I've been looking for. It's very organic. It's very natural. It's not like you have to try and be Billy Graham. Be yourself. God has gifted you and given you that passion. And so you invite them. And God says, that's it, because I love those people out there. And then there's going to be people here that are in church. We all work together. And so when we bring our friends, all week long, these guys are working on a song, maybe a sketch. The reason they're doing this isn't so that you come and observe and go, ooh, that was cool. No, the reason they're doing all of this is because they want to partner with you in your attempts to reach your family and friends and coworkers for Christ. So when they come on your elbow, they hear the gospel for the first time and go, got it. Some time ago, I was watching one of our, we call them Levites. These are the ones that help with the facilities. And if you join that, that's with Levites, just they were the ones that were the priests that set up the tabernacle. They were anointed to actually set up the tabernacle. And in a kind of a setting like this, we need lots of Levites, as it were. So this Levite was setting up speakers on a Saturday. And I came in and I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm setting up speakers. I said, oh, no, you're not. He said, oh, yes, I do, Pastor. I do this every Saturday. I said, no, you're not. He said, oh, yes, I'm setting up speakers. I said, no, you're not. And he kind of got frustrated, and he said, what am I doing then? And I said, well, I'm just kind of kidding you, but you know what you're doing? I said, you're making it possible most possibly for a person to come into this church and hear the gospel clearly, with clarity, for the first time, because you equalized the speakers, made sure there's no feedback, you set it up correctly, and because of that, the gospel is going to go forth with clarity. And for the first time, someone's going to hear that, and when I give an invitation to receive Christ, and when they raise their hand to say, yes, I didn't lead them to Christ, we did it together. Thank you for your part. Oh, yeah, you bet, Pastor. And then I went over to the children's ministry, and there was a lady that was volunteering in the children's ministry, and she was changing a diaper. I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm changing a diaper. Needs changing real bad. I said, no, you're not. She says, oh, yes, I am. I'm changing a diaper. I said, no, you're not. She said, oh, yeah, can you smell it? I said, but you're not changing a diaper. She said, well, what am I doing? I said, and I smiled and chuckled. I said, well, I'm playing with your mind a little bit, but here's what you're doing. You're making it possible for a young mother to entrust her baby to you, maybe for the very first time, and come into this room over here, the auditorium. And because she's not distracted, she's going to hear the gospel clearly through speakers, maybe for the very first time. And when I give the invitation to receive Christ and she receives the Lord, I didn't lead her to the Lord. We all did it together. And when you invite a friend, we all do it together. Do you understand? So people get one to the Lord, not just because of one person, it's because many on one person. Remember, you can go one on many like Billy Graham. That's one way for evangelism. The other is one on one when you have coffee with somebody. But the best way is many on one. And that person comes and encounters people here. Here's the gospel through that. The children are being cared for. They see a sketch. All of us, many, on one life. When that life is turned around, we did it together. That's what it means to do church as a team. And that's what makes the church so powerful. Let me bring it all together and bring it to a conclusion. As I talk to you about a young man named Leon. Some people say, well, Wayne, I really don't want to invite people because what if they reject it? What if they say no? What if they're a little miffed because I invited them? I said, oh, don't you worry about the response. See, your responsibility is to deliver the message, not to ensure that they respond well to the message. You just give it to them. Because you see, when you give God's word out, the Bible says, my word will not go forth from me void, but it will accomplish what it was sent forth to accomplish. In other words, the word of God is like seeds. When you plant it in somebody's heart, let it do its own thing. The scripture says that all scripture is inspired by God and it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living and active. So when you plant that seed, leave it. What if they go, oh, I didn't like it? Great, no problem. The word of God went into their ears, into their hearts, it's going to do its own thing. So don't worry about the response. You just worry about the delivery. That's our responsibility. God's is the response and the growth of it. You just deliver it. If they say, I don't like it, I just thought I'd deliver it. I learned that with Leon. Leon was with Youth for Christ. I was actually a Youth for Christ director here at Churchill. I would pick him up and bring him to our club, we called it, Youth for Christ Club. And maybe 3 months, he heard the gospel again and again and again. We had games and burger bashes and had a fun time, but he never would receive Christ. So finally I thought, I'm just going to take out my four spiritual laws. I don't know if you remember those, and I'm going to share the Lord with him over coffee. So I took him out, had a Coke, bought him a Coke, and I got one, and I went through the whole thing. And when it was done, it took me about 20 minutes. It was the most amazing presentation you will have ever heard. And I said to Leon, would you like to receive Christ? And he said, no, thanks. I said, no. Let me go through this again. So I went through it again. I said, would you like to receive Christ? He said, no. I said, why? He said, I don't know. I just don't want to do it. I said, no, you should. He said, no, I'm not. I thought, well, I'm taking you home then. And so I got him in my car and I took him home and And as I drove home, I started to get this really like a failure feeling. I thought, what a failure. I can't even lead a high school kid to the Lord and share the goodness of God. And I think I'm going to be a pastor. I thought, man, I got to check out of this. This is not working for me. And I remember grumbling with God. I said, God, what a failure I am. And I'll never forget what God impressed on me. And this is what he said. I wrote it down, and you'll see it written down. He said, Wayne, failure is not when they don't respond. Failure is when you never give them anything to respond to. Failure is not when they don't respond. Failure is when we never give them anything to respond to. And so we need to make that invitation available to them. If they say no, it's okay, because the Word of God is going to do its own germination. It's going to grow itself. And sure enough, 3 months later, Leon received Christ. So the Word of God was working in him for 3 months. And I didn't know that. And then 3 months later, he said yes. That's it. And so we want to be people who say, you know what, I'm just going to give them something to respond to, and we'll let them deal with it. In a few minutes, we're going to pass out a flashlight like this. You're going to get it. And then it's a little pen, a little permanent marker pen. And I'm going to ask if you would be praying for somebody and write their name on the back of this flashlight. Maybe some Bill or Sue or someone that you might know. And you're going to believe that God is going to do something in them. And maybe they say no. Just keep praying for them, because maybe 3 months later they will. But start with writing a name there boldly and just say, Lord, you open the door with this person and I'm going to invite them. And you watch what God does. A miracle will take place. And just take this with you and let it be a reminder. In here is also a couple of invitation cards. So it's all in one packet and you'll get it in a second. But let me wrap it all up and I'll have you do something with this in a second. But the ushers are going to pass it out. Please take a packet, take the pen out, write a name on there that you're going to be praying for, and then hold it because we're going to do something. But let me finish with a story. About 12 years ago, I had a heart attack, and they rushed me to Stanford Medical, and they put stents in my heart, three of them. And when I was recuperating, I came back up here to recuperate because my wife's from here, and we had a little family farm, so I thought, I'm just going to rest. And I had about 6 weeks to just rest. And one of my friends said, hey, Wayne, horses are a really good therapy, you know. I said, horses, they can kill you. They said, oh, no, they're really good horses. So I bought one, and I didn't know a thing about horses. I was so afraid of horses. And someone told me, oh, there's a guy named Tom Eichhorn that trains horses. I'll just call him. And so Tom said, yeah, who's this guy? Oh, okay, well, I'll train him. And so I went up to his little farm there. He has an arena. And got to know him. He taught me how to train my horse. All that to say is I got to be good friends with him and invited him to Hawaii, and so he could see the church. And he came to one of our Easter programs, I think it was, and just a couple of weeks before, I had been praying with the church about someone to pray for and bring to church. And I still have a little flashlight, a picture of that flashlight. I don't have the flashlight, but I wrote Tom's name on there. And about 2 weeks later, he received Christ. And now he's ahead of our security here at New Hope West. And I thought, you know what, Lord? You answer prayer if we are intentional about it. And God honors your prayers. And just think, if every one of us writes a name on this, just think how many people will start coming to Christ because we're intentional, because we've not forgotten who we are. And we know that we're not responsible for the response. Responsible for the delivery. If you'll do that, then God can bring miracles. How many of you would still like to be a part of miracles in these days? Would you say amen to that? Amen. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Every Member a Minister by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time we meet, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Psalm 75 verse 10 says, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord, because He's our employer. So we've got to make sure that we're working ethically, honestly, hard. We've got a good work ethic. We take initiative. We're punctual. We have good character. We have good speech. And God says, I'll promote you. You do it because you're my son and my daughter, and I am the one who is your master. I'm the one from whom comes all your blessings. So all of us are full-time. By the way, how many full-time ministers do we have here?
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope, heard each day on this very fine station. Until we meet next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.